Hey there, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for Easter Sunday celebration. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm Pastor Jeff Jackson with Christ Church of Prescott Valley here in Prescott Valley, Arizona. And I want to welcome you to week 4 of Church at Home. The church has left the building. Certainly, we want to welcome our church family today, the Christ Church Prescott Valley Church family. It's great to hear from many of you this week, and we especially welcome all of the others who are listening, folks in Prescott Valley, across Arizona, across America, and even in places around the world. Once again, I'm broadcasting from an empty auditorium at our church, missing each one of you. But it's exciting to know that we're online with over 4,000 people this past week through our Facebook page and our website. And you know, when I stop and think about it, I'm reminded that on that first Easter, there were only two witnesses to the resurrection. There was the angel from heaven who rolled away the stone. And then there were the Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb. And Scripture says that they had all fallen asleep like dead men. Pay no mind. There are 2.3 billion Christians around the world. That's one in every three people on the planet who are worshiping this Easter in their homes. We're apart, but we're not alone. In fact, there's never been an Easter like this one since the very first one. And we're reinventing the way we do church right here, taking advantage of technology. We're producing more resources for more people than ever before. And so we encourage you, you're hopefully already at our website listening to the service, but if you haven't gotten there, go to the website at ccfpv.com. There you'll have all of the services each Sunday during this time, and you'll hear the messages, you'll hear music, and plus you'll get the message notes each week. And as I always say, now's a good time, if you haven't already, to pause and print out the notes. So you'll have them in front of you to follow through the message and take some notes in addition. So if you haven't done that yet, you might want to just pause right now, print the notes, just click on the little notes icon right next to the message, and you'll get those there. And we always encourage our people, the CCPV family, to sign up for online giving. Your giving makes a difference, and so grateful, so glad that so many of you are signing up to help support our ministry even while we're apart. It will make a world of difference, and it is already. Also on our website, we've got Celebrate Recovery Ministry resources, our Monday night ministry to those recovery people are going to bless them online as well. And then always go to Facebook. You've got our daily meds, our meditations with music and more. And of course, we're launched now on our 517 prayer mob every day at 517 p.m. Hundreds of people gather every day to join together in prayer, whether you're online at Facebook page or just wherever you're at. Remember to pray. We need prayer now more than ever. And of course, our motto through the whole crisis has been, we're going to get through this together. And more to say about that today. Just remember and know that God's at work in all things. Romans 8:28 says, God works for the good. And we believe He's at work. And He's working through the messages, this series we've been in called Overcomers. We're talking about the six stages of a crisis, how to get through what we're all going through. And the first 2 weeks of the series, we talked about shock, how this crisis has kind of taken America by surprise. And shock is followed in the crisis stages by sorrow. Talked about how to overcome and deal with grief last week. And so if you haven't heard any of the other messages, go to the website as well. You can hear them there and get the notes as well. But I'm super excited today about Easter and today's message entitled Easter Changes Everything. But first, I want you to hear some music. One of my Easter favorites It's a song by Matt Maher. It's a classic. Because He Lives.
I believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the world that never ends, because He lives. I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the sun away. Amen. Amen.
I'm alive because He lives.
Amen.
Book, A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens wrote, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. What he was describing were the times during the French Revolution, during the 1790s, over 250 years ago. But it may very well have described the times in which we're living right now. You know, someone said to me this week, Pastor, you know that Easter is coming at just the worst possible time. And for the moment, I had to agree. We're in the midst of a deadly pandemic. The economy is tough. People are losing their jobs. People are in shock. People are struggling. People are afraid of getting sick, and people are dying. And just to make matters worse, we can't even get together to go to church to celebrate Easter. But you know, the more I thought about it, it occurred to me. This Easter is just like the very first Easter. In fact, this Easter is more like that Easter than any other Easter we've ever celebrated since. Think about it this way. On Palm Sunday, Jesus came into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna, celebrated as a king. 5 days later, to the shouts of crucify, He was tried and crucified as a criminal. The best of times had become the worst of times. Likewise, a couple of months ago, Our country was riding high. Our economy was strong and thriving. And just a matter of days, our country is now riding low. Our economy seems to be on life support. The best of our times has become the worst of our times. And just like that first Easter, the disciples were hiding in homes after the death of Christ, behind locked doors, in fear of an enemy who was waiting for them on the outside. Today, this morning, Americans find themselves sheltered at home, many of them afraid to go out unless they encounter the deadly enemy waiting outside their doors. Indeed, best of times has become the worst of times. And yes, maybe this Easter is more like that first one than any other since. And just maybe there's a message in it for us to hear. In fact, I believe that there is. Because I believe it's not really the worst time for Easter. In fact, I'm convinced it's the very best time. It's the perfect time to celebrate resurrection. And I want to share a message with you today. I've entitled, Easter Changes Everything. Because it does. Because it did back then. Because it will once again. And if you've got a Bible, I want you to join me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And certainly follow along your notes to share the scriptures with us as well. But I want us to go back to that Friday, called Good Friday, but for the disciples and certainly for the Lord, it was anything but good. In fact, it was the worst of times. Jesus had been arrested. He'd been beaten by Roman soldiers. He'd been scourged brutally. And now he was dying on a Roman cross. Matthew's gospel picks it up in Matthew 27, verse 50, where we read that from the cross, Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. He died. Joseph of Arimathea, one of the Sanhedrin and one of the disciples, took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of a rock. And he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. And there, on that Friday, there was despair. Hope had been crushed. There on that Friday, there was doubt. Faith had been shaken. On Friday, there was disillusionment. Purpose had ended. On that Friday, there was death. The Savior had been taken. The end, fade to black. Story's over. But not so fast. Because that was Friday. Sunday's coming. The worst of times is about to become the best of times, because Easter changes everything. And what I want to share with you today is how Easter changes everything in four specific ways. I want to share with you today how the darkness of that Sabbath night gave way to the dawn of Sunday morning. I want to take you with me to an empty tomb, a place I've been privileged to visit on a number of occasions. And what I want us all to see is what we see there that morning, at the dawn of Sunday morning. And what we see at that tomb is a resurrection of hope. We see a resurrection of hope As Matthew describes it, Matthew 28, verse 1, he says, "At dawn, on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who was the mother of James and John, went to look at the tomb. They were actually going there to finish the preparation of the body. The body had been taken from the cross because of Sabbath regulations so quickly, and it had been prepared and buried that they hadn't time to finish proper preparations. And so they were on the way to the tomb, and on their way there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of them that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.' And in that moment, with those words from an angel from heaven, there was a resurrection of hope in their hearts. He isn't here. He's risen, just as he promised. You can come and see for yourself." Hope was born. And hope, well, hope is essential. Someone has suggested that the average person can go 40 days without food, 7 days without water, 4 minutes without oxygen. But we can't live a moment without hope. And today, in the face of despair, Easter brings new hope. And hope comes to every heart that's willing to open to it. For as 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I want you to circle those words, living hope. You know, everybody finds hope somewhere. Sometimes we even hope in hope's sake. But we have a living hope because of Easter, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so the first thing I want you to know today is that because of Easter, we have new hope. And the second thing I want us to see this morning at the resurrection tomb is a resurrection of faith. Matthew's gospel again continues the narrative, saying in Matthew 28, verse 7, the angel spoke, saying, "Go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, now that I've told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. They found faith once again. From the words of the angel who said, "Go to Galilee, and there you will see him," their hope gave birth to faith. And so they went, they ran to tell others because they had new found faith. And why do we have faith? Well, we have faith because of the one who rose from the dead. In fact, if you were to examine the tombs of the four founders of the four major religions of our world, you could go to Israel and find the tomb of Abraham of the Old Testament, who was the father of the Jewish people and Judaism. He died in 1900 BC and buried there in Hebron in southern Israel. You could also look for the tomb of Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, who died in 483 BC. And if you were to find his burial place, you'd see his remains still there. And then you could also go to the tomb of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, who died at the age, or in the year 632 AD. And his tomb, still there in Medina, Saudi Arabia, visited by millions every year. And then you could go to the tomb of Jesus, the empty tomb. And there, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, they buried Jesus in 33 AD. Now, if you look for those four tombs, you can find them, but only one of them is empty. And that makes all the difference. In fact, let me put it this way. There was a Muslim man from Africa who was converted to Christ and became a Christian. And many of his family and friends were upset, and why could you have done such a thing to convert from Islam to Christianity? And he simply answered, well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down a road, suddenly you come to a fork in the road, and there's a choice of two directions, and you don't know which way to go. And there at the fork are two men. One of them is dead, and one of them is alive. Which one would you ask to show you the way? Of course, the answer is obvious. The one who's alive. And friends, we can have new faith today because the one to whom we look to the one we look to follow, he is alive. And in the face of doubts, all of our doubts, Easter gives birth to new faith. As well, Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. Paul says, I know whom I believe. He says, I know, not just in my head, but in my heart, I have a relationship with him because he's alive. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Yes. Easter changes everything. Because it's a resurrection of faith. And then third, Easter changes everything because it's a resurrection of life. Clearly and obviously, as Matthew again records in his narrative, chapter 28, verse 9, he says, suddenly Jesus met them. The angel had left them, the ladies, and suddenly Jesus appeared saying, greetings. And they ran to him. They clasped his feet and they worshiped him. Their hope had become faith, and now their faith becomes sight. They can see him. They can touch him. They know he's alive. And so he says, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And later in verse 17 it says, and so when the disciples saw him, they worshiped him. Why? Because the one who was dead is now alive. And the one who conquered death can now promise life. I want to tell you the story of a man that I heard of this week. A young man by the name of Mike Dowdell. Mike's a husband and father of two girls in Atlanta, Georgia. 3 weeks ago, Mike, on a business trip to New York City, was infected with the coronavirus on a business trip. He returned home to Atlanta, became very ill, so ill that he was taken by ambulance to the hospital. In a sad scene, his wife and two daughters said goodbye to him as they carted him away in the ambulance. He got to the hospital. His prognosis didn't look good. In fact, doctors gave him very little hope of survival. And then something remarkable happened. He started to get better. And then he recovered. And now Mike is one of a growing number of new American heroes. He's overcome the coronavirus. He's recovered. And now he's donating his blood for plasma, so that others can be saved. They'll be saved by the blood of an overcomer. And you see, that's what Easter is all about. Jesus came from heaven to earth to a broken world infected with the virus of sin, and every single one of us infected and living out a death sentence. And there he injected himself on a cross with the sin of the whole world. And there on that cross, he died. But here's the glory of Easter. For 3 days later, he emerged from the tomb, alive and well, resurrected and risen. And now we can be saved from the virus of our sin through the blood of the ultimate overcomer, Jesus Christ. As Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set free from our sins. And so Easter changes everything, because in the face of death, Easter and Jesus bring us new life. As Jesus said, recorded in John's Gospel chapter 11, outside of Lazarus' tomb before his resurrection, we read, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So Easter changes everything. There's a resurrection of life. And finally, Easter changes things because in Easter we see a resurrection of purpose. Again, as Matthew's gospel concludes in verse 18, it says, Jesus came to them, the disciples, and he said, so go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus gave them the great commission. It was their life's mission. It was a new purpose. And they lived that purpose out. In fact, if you were to go down through the pages of history, you'd find that all but one of Jesus' 12 disciples died martyr's death, carrying out that gospel. Matthew, the disciple, was killed by a sword in Ethiopia. The disciple Mark died in Egypt, dragged by wild horses. Luke was hanged in Greece. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross in Rome. James, the leader of the church of Jerusalem, was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple and died. And on and on. Through the list you can go. James, the son of Zebedee, Bartholomew, Andrew, Thomas, Matthias, and even the apostle Paul. They all died martyr's death, carrying out the mission. Why? Because they found new purpose. So in the face of disillusionment today, Easter brings us new purpose. As 1 Peter 2 says, God has brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so now you must tell all the wonderful things that He has done. You can have a new purpose today. Serving and living your life for the one who died so that you might have life forever. So I leave you today with a question. You need a resurrection today? A resurrection of hope in the face of doubt. Resurrection of faith in spite of despair. Resurrection of purpose in spite of disillusionment. Resurrection of life in the face of death. My story. 14 years ago, this week, it was the worst of times in my life. 14 years ago, this week, my life was full of despair, doubt, disillusionment. I thought I was dying. God gave me a resurrection of new hope, new faith, new purpose, and new life. And He can do the same for you.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son.
On a hill called Calvary, there stands an endless mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain its frame, shed to wash away our shame. From the skies pure love released, salvation by the mercy tree. In the sky between two thieves hung the blame.
grace for you, grace for me at the cross, our mercy tree, because Easter changes everything. Thanks so much for sharing today's Easter service with us. Hey, be sure to connect with us this week. We've got a lot more valuable resources available online, not only our Sunday services with the message, music, the notes, which, by the way, if you enjoyed today's service and the message, be sure to share. Just hit that blue share button next to the message notes and send it to others who may need to hear a message of hope, faith, and life. And also, if you're blessed by this ministry, invite you to share a gift with us as well. You can go to our website and just look for the Give button at the top of the menu on the front homepage, and we will appreciate any gift of any size that you give. And join us on Facebook for daily meditations each day with music and more, as well as at 5:17 each afternoon, join us for the prayer mob because, well, we all need prayer now more than ever. In fact, let me close today's Easter celebration with a prayer. Bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you for reminding us today that even in the face of despair, we can find new hope. In the face of doubt, we'll find new faith. That in the face of disillusionment, we can have new purpose. And most importantly, Lord, for reminding us that even in the face of death, there is new life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, remind us in every crisis to turn to you and to trust in you. And finally, Lord, thank you for the cross, our mercy tree, and the empty grave. We ask all of this in the name of the one who died and rose again, our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Hey, thanks again for joining us. Let me leave you today with some new Easter music from Elevation Worship. It's a song entitled, He Turns Graves into Gardens.